God is good. Amen. I'm so sorry, Pastor, for being a delay to come here, and I repent. I love this church. And as Pastor said, I don't know, 3 months believer or 4 months believer I was. And so I came to that church, you were there. And by that time, I was so hungry. I'm still a little bit hungry too. But by that time, I was so hungry for a word of God. And I came to that place. And I was so blessed by the teaching of the word of God. And I was seeing the pastor quoting one scripture after one after one. And the scripture was coming up one after one. And I was like, gosh, this is so rooted in the word of God. And I was so blessed. And that really encouraged me to go for Bible, because I was touched by Holy Spirit, how I came to Christ. And I was trying to read the Bible by that time. But I was feeling I'm a little bit lazy. But later when I came and I saw the pastor, your pastor is full of the word. I mean, like a quote one after one. And that was that even one meeting can change your life. And that was a blessing from this church. I go to the Bible and I say, I have to memorize Bible. And it's how important we can get rooted in the Word of God and the Bible in us, the Word of God. Because God speaks to us through His Word. And we need to know His Word and walk according to what Bible says. And in book of Ephesians said, if we grow in the fullness of Christ, likeness of Christ, if we know His word, we will not be like children. If each wind is coming, they throw in one way, another way. Do you know what happened to Christianity these days? One person is teaching about the prosperity gospel. Another is teaching about Jehovah's Witness. Another teaching about the Mormonism. Another one. So how that would be for us, so we can continue to this, what we start, or what God is starting us. Definitely with the word of God. Amen? Because you couldn't recognize Holy Spirit until you know the Word of God. And many people, especially in our culture, many people, they wake up, they say, I had a dream. In my dream, I saw this. In Middle East people, they are very open to dream. And sometimes I say, man, do you know this dream is from God or not? How do you recognize that? How do you walk on that? How do you test it? Because in Middle East, they are so love the dreams and vision and all this supernatural, and which is amazing. I love that. But how we can recognize those things, that's through the word of God. Amen? Amen. So I want to thank you, Pastor Fola, and all the leadership for inviting me here, and my wife. We are so pleased, and I want to say how much you bless my life. Amen. And suddenly, sometimes we don't know how we impact in other people's lives. Some person coming in and going outside. So I came one minute meeting and gone. But right now, God using those blessed time, the word of God in us to many, many people's life. Amen?
Amen.
So I am privileged to be here, and I know this relationship will grow up.
Amen.
Because we are so close to each other. I'm living 106 Upper Warwick Street, which means it's just only 3 minutes, around the corner. And when Pastor said we came here, I said, oh, yes, that's great. There's a lot of hostel here. My friend, I want to encourage you to go and encourage many people to come to here. I want to give the very good instruction for double up your church. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
You know, sometimes you can give the best in the beginning. I was in Brazil, and 3 weeks ago, we saw many, many people got saved in the street, in airplane, in Uber, everywhere. We were just going there and seeing the people getting saved and life transformed. And I was going inside the country. A person who was checking my visa, and she looked at me and said, you from Iran? I said, yes, I'm from Iran. I said, not in bad way, but I could see like there's a question in the head, saying like, what are you doing in Brazil? And the next question I said, are you born again? And she was saying, what? I said, Jesus loves you. And she was saying, yes, I know Jesus loves. I said, no. I know many people, because in that country, many people is from Catholic background. And I said, no, I'm not talking about that love. I'm talking about have you received that love in your heart? Have you followed Jesus for yourself? Do you have a relationship or your parents chose for you? So she said, I think I need to think about that. I said, yes. I said, okay, by the way, what are you doing in this country? I said, exactly what you see. I'm here to preach the gospel, share the gospel with people. So anyway, we saw many people got saved, and even in coffee shop and other places, Holy Spirit was touching people. And I saw so much opportunity and hunger in that nation and the country. I tell that many church I went there, this simple strategy about how you can double up your church. And the pastors and leaders, they was listening and they was thinking, I'm going to give like a 12 like a step of the strategy and the hundreds way of the... And I said, it's not about pastors and leaders. This is about the people. And people were listening. Okay, what we should do? I said, if until next year you bring one person to church, the church will be double. And every person like, oh, this is so easy. But that show us how much we are thinking everything in church pastors and leaders should do. We even don't share the gospel. We say, okay, this is the worship team job and this is Pastor Fowler's job or other people. No, this is each one of us. Amen? So there is 100 people coming, and the refugee camp pastor came with me, and especially many African people and other nationalities, they come in this nation as refugee, and they're looking for a church. And the only simple thing, we need to put 1 hour a week to go there to get a leaflet of this church and say, would you like us to go to church? And they invite here. And they can walk, it's only 10 or 15 minutes. But what we need to do, Jesus said, go. Go. Amen? So this is my prayer in the beginning, and then we're going to go to Word of God. Amen? Are you ready?
Yes.
Do you want to pray that prayer to God? God, use me to bring one person to church. I am a very practical person. I don't want to do some unknown practical thing here, okay? And I will challenge you a little bit in good way, in Father heart's way. Amen? So this is between you and between God. I want to ask Holy Spirit to help you, but also I want to ask you to give some commitment to the Lord. Until next year, December, say, God, use me. I'm not talking about double up number to we feel good. No, I'm talking about salvation of people. We can be 11 people in Jesus' side and change the world. It's not about there's like 1,000 or 1,000. I'm talking about how we impact people's life, how we share our story in school, in college and other places. And if we shut up and if we don't share about Jesus, who's going to tell to them? It's not about the gift of evangelism they have to share the gospel. No, this is like Ryan Habonko or other people, they go to mass crusade. We need to be witness every day to people we've seen. Each person you've seen, you need to shine. You need to say something about Jesus or do something. They can be like surprised. Why you do this? And you can say, because Jesus loves me or because Jesus changed my life. We are not here to go from A, B, C, D and say, okay, I got married and I'm going to have 2 children. I'm going to have 5 cars and 5 buildings. And then, okay, I'm okay. No. We are not okay. We are here for one reason. To bring heaven on earth through the Holy Spirit. And this is your job and my job. Heaven is not our mission. Heaven is our destiny. Our mission, bring heaven on earth every day, no matter where you are, in college, in university, in a home, in the streets, in your job, in business, whatever you're doing. This is what we need to do it every day. And this is, I want to like set your mind for next year, some goal. I want to bring one person to Christ. If you don't set that one, you're not going to share in the school. You're not going to share in the street. Let's pray together. Put your hands in your heart and between you and between God. I don't want you promise to any man or any people. I don't want to feel burdened. But I want you stirred up by the Holy Spirit. Father, you said wait to receive the Holy Spirit. So God, we ask you baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask, let your fire to burn it, God. To touch our hearts and our minds, God. Let us be awake for your mission, God, for what you called us to reach those that are lost, God. So, Jesus, we ask in today, by your grace, help us. Help this amazing, amazing mission you gave us to share the gospel with one person, God. And we ask you, help us, Holy Spirit, guide us, give us wisdom. Help us to put you and put the salvation of those other people that are lost in priority of our life. And help us as a member, each one of us, to work together for the calling you called the church to go together. To take the burden, to take all the hard work from the pastors and leaders, to be the one member you called us as a body of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ugh, I am very excited. So when I share about the evangelism, something stirred up inside of me because I am evangelist. So I like to share the gospel with people because someone shared the gospel with me. And I came to this country end of 2007 as a refugee. And it's not far in Green Bank, in end of Smithdown Road. And someone from Iranian church came and evangelized us. And I was Muslim. I am from Iran. And I didn't want to listen. I said, I am Muslim. Why I should come to church? So this man was continue for 6-7 weeks continually. Each week he was coming and sharing the gospel. And they smile in his like this and said, I'm praying for you, fasting for you, and praying and fasting for the salvation of people. And I was seeing the people getting saved and life getting changed. So for me, I came to church. Four months later of that evangelism, and not because this man asked me and I was agree, there was a Christmas gathering in this exactly these times of the year, and I was encouraged, my friend, to go to the church, and I said, why you want to go to church? Because you are not Muslim, you are not Christian, so I am really interested to know why you want to go to church. And he said, I'm going to find a girlfriend. And I said, what? Why are you not going to disco to find a girlfriend? He said, no. Iranian girl is in the Iranian church. If you want to find the Iranian girl, you should go to church. So anyway, I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on in my world? Like everything was going against my understanding and my direction of my life. By that time, I was flee from Iran because of the political problem. I was survey engineer. I had a good job, good life. Everything I had, I was thinking I needed, I bought it. And but later, because of political problem, I become zero, and I was refugee camp. And in refugee camp, I was drinking, smoking. So my world was like opposite what I was thinking and planning to go. I was thinking, okay, I'm going to go as a civil engineer, and the next thing is like getting like a car, and next thing is like buying a house, and next thing is this. And then my mom said, you need one thing. I was 21 years old. And he said, in 1 year or 2 years, you need to get married. So you have everything you need. Go forward. So suddenly, from this glorious, amazing life, I was a refugee. And by that time, I think we asking God, what is your plan? My plan didn't work it. but your plan maybe is better. By that time, I was saying, maybe. Because I wasn't sure. Because I was let down by God of Islam. I was praying, fasting. I was doing all the duty Islam asked me to do. But I didn't know what's going to happen in the future. But anyway, when I was in that situation, my friend asked me, he said, let's go to church. And so I said, oh, I don't want to go. He pulled me, let's go. And I don't want to go alone. So I said, okay, let's go together to church, but I'm not going to do any worship or any spiritual thing or something like that because I'm a Muslim. And he said, no, I don't want to do either because today is just the dancing, is the food, and the Christmas party. So let's join this party. I said, okay, let's join this party. So we went for party. So we arrive and this like a few people were like this, in like a worship like this. And I never seen this kind of worship because in the mosque, all I see like this. And I never seen like a people dance or wave or something like that. So I was thinking dance start. So I asked, let's go and let's join this dance together. And he said, no, shut up. This is worship. This is not dancing. I said, ugh. I never been in the church. I didn't know what they're doing. So for first worship, I was laughing. And second worship, I was laughing. And third worship, I saw something in the screen. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And suddenly, Holy Spirit took me all my life, all my days. I was in religion. I didn't have a peace. I had a good job, but I didn't have a peace. You can buy a bed, but you couldn't buy sleep. Yes. You can share some joke and some people laugh, but you couldn't have a joy because that is inside. You can have a Bugatti and be the most miserable person on the planet Earth. I seen in my whole of my family. And why? Because that is all about the God and God in us. Until God does not come in our heart, in our life will be messed. So anyway, I was just like so confused like that. And I was saying, God, please, would you give me that peace? Because I didn't have that peace. I was looking back all of my days. I don't know, for a minute or for a second, Holy Spirit came in the room and just changed the atmosphere. So beautiful. And that when I was thinking on that moment, I didn't know why I'm praying this prayer. But I asked God, would you give me that peace? And the second thing after that prayer, I felt the water is dropping on my head. Real water. And I was so afraid. I was just checking the roof. Maybe some water is dropping. And I saw the roof is safe. Everything is okay. And I was looking to people. Anybody throw any water to me? Because I am from engineer background. I try to find everything scientifically. And even did that work? And I saw, oh my goodness, everybody worshiping. Why I feeling water in my head? And that's okay. This okay. Mean okay. So the next thing I asked God, would you, if that's you, would you show me again? And this time I felt the fire of Holy Spirit fall on me. In a strong way. A very, very real way. And I was crying and I was weeping. And I was in the floor. And I was saying, God, if you don't leave me, I will serve you all of my days. And my friend was there. And he was looking and he was shocked. Because one day before, like 1 minute before, I was laughing to Christianity. Now I am weeping, crying. And he said, what are you doing? I said, leave me alone. This was the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, it took me 7 months to read the Bible and compare with Quran. For 7 months, I said, if my family chose for me, this is the time for me to choose it. Because when I was age 8, my dad took me to the mosque. When I was age 13, I started memorizing Quran. In the end of age 13, I memorized nearly 4 gospels, if I say the compare with the Bible. I was spending 3 hours to 4 hours to memorizing Quran in the home when people were playing PlayStation. And I become number one in the city. This was how committed I was, age 13. Not for your study, not for your university. By the way, I was a very good boy and I was studying very well as well. So imagine that person now crying and weeping. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we start with the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we forget the importance of the Holy Spirit in our life. And I want to really encourage you because it's so important. It's very, very important. Many people say this, like, brother, you're going to be okay. You are fiery, like a new believer. In a few years, you will be okay. I know you are very emotional now. In a few years, you will be okay. You're going to sit in one of the chairs and you're going to say, okay, don't know. And I was keep hearing that as a new believer. And I was scared. And I was keep hearing this, you know, this word. After a few years, I'm going to settle in the one of the chair in the church and do nothing. And I was so scared. Pastor said very, very, very amazing thing. So when we hear the testimony, we realize God is real. And I was asking if this is God is real. Why? I don't see God act as a real. God was real, but I didn't see in the church. And I was seeing, if Jesus healed the sick, why I don't see it? If Jesus cast out demons, why I don't see it? Why I don't have any power to evangelize? Why I'm scared? So all of those things I was going through. And I was keep listening to testimony. Keep listening to testimony. So for 6 months, for 7 months, I was reading the Bible and comparing with the Quran. In the end, I realized you can't compare Jesus with anyone. I mean, there's no even near. You can talk about like, all the religion is the same. That makes me so angry. People say, all the religion is the same. I don't know if people read the Bible, read the Quran, read the Torah, and read all the books or not. Because there's no similarity. Jesus talking, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. There's no eternal life in other religion. There's no savior in other religion. You couldn't find. They tell him, don't do bad, do good. But nobody say, nobody, I will die for your place. I pay for your sin. So how you say there's a similarity? But I know, because of the spirit of this world, because of the politics, because of the money, because they want to play, and we need to choose what is our calling in this planet Earth. So I was reading like Jesus' life, Jesus saying, what you eat is not makes you unclean. What's coming out of your heart makes you unclean. So I was just thinking, you know, Islam said, like, if you do, someone did it like in your punch you, you need to punch back. Jesus said, if someone is punching right side, you turn your face. Jesus talking about love your enemy. Jesus talking about forgiveness. Jesus. So I don't want to go that. I don't want to do teaching on that subject. But I was convinced I am a sinner and I need a savior. Not going to church is going to save me. I need to ask Jesus to come my heart personally. And I need to choose to call him as a Lord and Savior. And this is not Sunday service. This is commitment, every one of us. No matter how old you are, and no matter how many days you come into church, you need to choose for yourself to know you are a sinner, to know Jesus died on the cross, he raised after 3 days, and make him a Lord and Savior, and he become your everything. You live for him. You die for yourself. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I'm not living for myself. Who is living in me? Christ. And I live for Christ. So anyway, I had a dream. In my dream, I saw I was dead. I saw my dead body in caffeine. And I saw the door open. And the cross arrived, full of fire and full of light. And I heard the voice, you were dead, now you are alive. Cross came, raised me inside the caffeine to outside the caffeine. Push me inside the house, outside the house. And I was talking to the cross. Leave me now. I know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And that day I gave my life to Jesus. Because of his grace, because of his love, kindness for each one of us. Why I share that in the beginning of my teaching, I will do something in the Word of God and share with you. It's in my heart. Because I want to encourage you to remove that all the fear, remove all the lie in our head. We put, this person is Jewish, this person is Muslim, this person is that. You know, every person on planet Earth needs to be saved. And every person needs to hear somehow about Jesus. Maybe you sow a seed. Maybe you are in this place. You are praying for this area continually. And by 10 years, you will see the whole this area transform. What we saw in the spirit, we don't see now. When you are coming here, you exalt the name of God. Why God brought you here in Tokstet? You have a purpose. You are praying in heavenly places. You are praying against all the spiritual warfare in these areas. But I want to see from that perspective, whatever you sow in, you will reap. The kingdom of God will reap it. Maybe even you don't see it. So share the gospel with people. Today in my life, in my friend's life, in my family's life, God did lots of miracles because we just shared the gospel with people. There's no magic. There's no secret. Share the gospel with people. So simple. Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He loves you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And people need to hear that. God loves them. God is not angry at them. God loves them. God looking like prodigal sons and daughters to bring back to their family. My family all live in Iran. After that, I started praying in the church with group to my family in Iran. And right now, we have 41 believers in my family. All of them in Iran. My dad, my mom, my four sisters, my uncle, my auntie, all brother-in-law, cousin, all. We need to share the gospel. Didn't happen in one day. Took 10 years, some of them 8 years, some of them 6 years. But we need to make this very, very serious about salvation of soul. Amen? Yes. So let's read the parts of Bible together. Amen? This was introduction to go to the Word of God. Forget about others. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1. I would like to read from Ephesians chapter 1. Paul is starting with this letter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption to himself as a son through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. The reason Paul mentioned this, because of the there was a false teaching. It's called mysticism. Have you heard about mysticism? This is huge in Iran. Right now, what's happening in Iran, you will shock if you hear. 90% of young generation, they don't go to mosque. 90%, 90, I'm not talking 19. Okay? And the nation coming to Christ so rapidly, so fast. People is against the religion. They are so tired of religion, especially about Islam. You don't hear this in the news because news, they don't cover this kind of thing. But in Iran, reality, people, they are tired of all the what government doing. And they look, they say, this is the fruit of that tree. They're bearing false fruit. And we don't believe that anymore. Iran, before Islam arrived in Iran, was Christian. Christianity was in our nation. In the day of Pentecost, Iranian was there. Three tribes of the Iranian group, they are told, called Part, Elim, and other people. If you look, I will look like a little bit touch on what I'm sharing about Ephesians. Why Paul wrote this letter to Ephesians in Greece, which was applying right now in Iran and many, many countries. If you see the Bible, Cyrus was Iranian. He rescued the Jewish people. Esther was in Iran. Nehemiah was in Iran. Daniel was in Iran. And you go on. You know the who was the first people redeemed the Jewish people? Cyrus. He was Iranian. Whatever God wanted to do for good, enemy wanted to turn for bad. So why I'm sharing this? Because in Iran right now, many people, they live in Islam and they follow mysticism. And what is mysticism? Mysticism says this. If we do certain rules and obey some amazing secret thing with God, we will go from this level to this level. And from this level to this level. Finally, the angel, they're going to give us the key. The key is the secret word. And if you know this secret word, you're going to go to heavenly places. And from heavenly places, finally, maybe you ended up to the heaven. So that's called secret. So they're looking for knowledge and they're looking for own righteousness. They practice with, say, if I don't do bad thing, I will go from this level to this level, which is another way of the religion. Because religion says to you, if you do good thing and if you don't do bad thing, you will go to heaven. This is all about Islam. Islam said, it's all about you. If you do good, you go to heaven. If you do bad, you go to hell. There's no word grace in Quran. So right now, Paul teaching this writing to Ephesus, the church was influenced by mysterious thing they going through. They don't understand. So they were telling them, they saying, okay, Jesus is the highest angel. That's why today you hear about Mormonism. Why this come from? It's not the new thing, very old, but different names. Enemy always try to twist the word of God. So people in that place, they were trying to go from this level to another level. So all was about the practicing like a power game. And they didn't understand. So Paul is coming to this place, to the church. He's saying this. He said, each one of you seated in heavenly places with Christ. He's saying each one of the believers, because of the what Jesus done on the cross, we are seated in heavenly places in Ephesians 2, 6. He's not telling to you go from here to here. Paul said, because of what Jesus died, what Jesus did at the cross, you are seated in heavenly places. And all angel and the demonic forces under your feet, because they are on the feet of Jesus Christ. So you are here and they are here. Do you remember what Jesus said about the John? He said, the John the Baptist, if he is the greatest prophet, the smallest of you in the kingdom is the greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because there was Old Testament and New Testament. Because Jesus died on the cross, you are seated in heavenly places with Christ. So teaching to the church in Ephesus saying, you don't have to do this. You have to know who you are and rule from that perspective, from that point, that power God given to you. That's why book of Ephesians chapter 6 talking about spiritual warfare. How you can rule the spiritual warfare? I've been in Africa. I know there is a lot of cult, a lot of this kind of thing. I was in Ghana and in Accra. Anyone from Ghana here? And I was 2011, I was there. And the church was like 1,000 people. Holy Spirit fall in a strong way. And half church had a deliverance, maybe 600-700 people. And the pastor was saying, what is the secret? I said, I'm going to tell you the secret. I said, my secret is Jesus Christ. In book of Ephesians says that. In verse 1, chapter 1, verse 9. See what he's saying. Make known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. So those people, they were looking to find some mysterious thing. If you look to Hollywood right now, they're talking about secret, mystery. You know, our kids looking for, find some mystery. And there is something in the hearts of human being. They know you are. They are more than what they think. That's why the children, they like Spider-Man, Superman. But they don't know how to sort out these two confusion. Inside of them cries out, there's a more of me. But outside, reality, they couldn't do anything. That's why saying, outside Christ, we are nothing. But in Christ, we have everything we needed. So Paul teaching, you don't have to practice certain rules and regulation to go from this here to this place, to this place, to this place. No, 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 no. You are seated in heavenly places with Christ. You don't need the secret word to go to heaven. All you need is Christ. By what you do, you not go to heaven. By what Jesus done on the cross, you go to heaven. His righteousness counts on you. His obedience take you to heaven. It's not yours. But Jesus saying, this is the gift. Bible saying, this is the gift Jesus gave us. His death on the cross. His resurrection on the cross. But he said, this is the destination. But how about our mission on earth? What we gonna do if we don't know who we are? That's why Paul teaching in this amazing book, you are seated in heavenly places. How many of us, we are upset in the church? Oh, they didn't give the good seat to me. They sit on this seat. No. He said, come on. Look, you are seated in heavenly places with Christ. Until if you don't know that, we're going to fight on that chair or this chair. Until you don't know who you are, we don't know what we do. And Paul saying to the Ephesians, you don't need to find some secret word and secret things and mysterious things. All you need to know, Christ and Christ in you. That's why Paul used 200 times in Christ, Christ in you in his episode. Why? Because whatever Christ have before Father, you have. You are in heritage because of what Christ done on the at the cross. Jesus, before he ascended, before he lived the earth, what he said? He said, all power, all authority given to me, now I'm sending to you. In John 20, he said, as my Father sent me, I'm sending you. And then he breathed the Holy Spirit. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Same Spirit Adam lost because of his sin. Jesus came and he restored new creation. He breathed again. I said, the new creation. But this time, not just Jesus. Each one of us, we have the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit become unlimited Jesus. It dwells in each one of us. And you know, if you know that, if you know you are like MP in this country, how are you going to live it? If you know you are a candidate sitting like with the, I don't know, Johnson or each one, each time I forget their names. In their seat, if you know you have a place there, how you live? This is just only this small dot in the universe. And this word said, you have a place with Christ in heavenly places. And you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. That's if you shift your mentality. You change who you are. I am seated with Christ. When I came in this country, I was like this. I couldn't talk to people, even my family. I couldn't talk to anyone. I was very shy. 5 years ago, we had a meeting with the mayor of this city. And they were choosing like a person from every community. And they said to me, and we go there. Each one, they would say, what are we going to share? They were like that. What are we going to share? And they would say, you don't have a stress. I said, why? Why? Because my position is so higher, so big. My Father's have heaven on earth. Everything belongs to him. And I practice that. Other day we went to Costco and I was with my Brazilian friend and with my wife and I said, you know, this Costco, it belonged to my father. And she was laughing. I said, no, truth, my father. My father owns everything. And you change your mentality. You change your mentality. You shine because of confidence you have in him. In him. Amen? So Paul is encouraging and say, guys, you don't need any mystery. You don't need to look to who is more powerful, less powerful. All you need to know who Christ is. What Christ did. He overcome the enemy. And the Christ in you. So how we pray for the deliverance if we know what authority we have. We go and just say, in the name of Jesus, come out. All we need to say and we will obey. We go and lay hands and say, be healed in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Change our mindset. So today, my encouragement to you from this scripture, you read it, to know who you are. You're going to live according you believe who you are. We can fight about, don't sin. My brother, my sister, don't do any sexual thing. But if you don't know who you are, that is wrong fighting. Because if you tell to Prince Harry or the Queen's sons, don't do this or don't do this, maybe he doesn't understand. But if you say to him, you belong to the royal family, you can have whatever you want, but according to your calling and your family and all this kind of, this is wrong to do it. So you never see the royal family to go to be drunk in the pub. He can have one wine and very gentle. Why? That's why Paul said, don't be drunk. Be full of Holy Spirit. Because he teach before, you belong to royal family in heaven. You can have a right marriage. You can rule in your city, in your life, in your family's life. You don't have to be broken. Do you see those people? They are addicted in the street. They are created in God's image. But sin broke them. And Jesus wants to restore them by telling them who you are. Who you are, my daughter, my son. So you are so powerful. This is not the just joke. This is Bible. It said the spirit in us is greater than spirit in the world. Amen? Amen. How many of you battle with the spiritual things in your life? How many of you scare after they don't put the curse on our life? If you know this, you don't gonna believe the lie of enemy. Jesus can destroy, listen to this carefully, destroy all the power of Satan and the enemies with one word. He can say, finito. And all they're gonna be wiped away. But he gave me and you privilege to destroy them. He said, son, this is a small thing, you go do it. You go say, finito. He gave to you that power to reign as Jesus reigned in his life. And what we need to do, rooted in the word of God, know who we are, be close to the Holy Spirit, and fill with the power of Holy Spirit. And I'm going to do in 1 or 2 minutes about the power of the Holy Spirit. I was in Iranian church for 7 months, 8 months after I got saved. And I was keep telling God, why I don't feeling or walking or sharing or feeling joy? What is wrong? Even I become a Christian. And I was in one conference and preacher said, if you're feeling this, he didn't listen. I didn't talk to him, but somehow he was giving the word of knowledge. He said, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's difference between water in you and you are in water. You can have the Holy Spirit in you as just a God in you. But if you want to swim in the water, you need to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Each day, every day. The Holy Spirit in you is for your sanctification, to change you. Holy Spirit on you is for your ministry, for your service. Jesus had the Holy Spirit in him. He born from Holy Spirit. For 30 years, he never performed any miracle until the Holy Spirit came on him. He starts saying, Spirit of the Lord upon me. He anointed me. Secret. Many people, they don't understand. When we give our life to Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. But each day, we have a right, spirit of depression to sit here, or spirit of joy. This is my choice and your choice. You can be a believer, and until we die, we can be like this. And you can be a believer every day to learn, to declare, to confess who you are, and those things to get out of you and fill with the Holy Spirit every day. Amen? And that Holy Spirit upon you is going to shift atmosphere around you. It's going to bring joy, peace, righteousness, love. And it's going to break those things the enemy wants to bring upon your life. Amen? So I want to do with one worship, if that's okay, in the background. And I want you to stand up together. And for a minute, I want to pray over you. But I would like to you receive from God Himself. Amen? Anybody feeling hard time to sleep during the night? Have a bad dream or something like that? Between you and the Lord, I want you just ask the Holy Spirit to come to touch you in greater way and to remove all things. God gave you that power, that authority. You don't need the secret words. All you need to know, your secret is Christ. The rule from that point. So Father, right now, we know we are loved by you. And today, in Jesus' mighty and beautiful name, we pray to fill us with the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you. Holy Spirit is gifts. We are not earning by own righteousness. I thank you, Jesus, by your righteousness, by you, what you've done on the cross, by the blood you shed at the cross, by your resurrection, you made a way. We can receive the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Jesus. You said, John the Baptist baptized you with water, but the one is going to come. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. God, we ask together for a hunger raised inside of us to increase the anointing upon our lives. The Holy Spirit in us is the same for each person for sanctification. But the Holy Spirit upon us comes as we request. Comes as we want to do the mission. Comes as we want to set the captive free. Comes if we have a vision to change our neighbor. If we want to have a vision to cast out demons, if we have a vision to want to see people got saved, comes because He loves people. Holy Spirit loves people. If you surrender, you say, God, here I am. I want to give myself to you. Use me. I am hungry. Use me. And He will come. He will pour out His Spirit upon you. And that spirit of depression is going to go out. The spirit of suicide is going to go out. The spirit of disunity is going to go out. The spirit of idolatry is going to go out. All things there is in this world try to sit upon our lives. Try to sit upon our temple, our body.
And all you need to let the fire fall. Let the fire of Holy Spirit fall. As fall on my life. Because Holy Spirit is so real. It's so real. It's so real. So Father, I apply blood of Lamb all over this place. Let's pray together. Let's speak in tongues. Let's ask God. Wait upon the Lord. Be hungry for yourself, for your gods. Which you are seated. You have a seat with Christ. You are God ambassadors. You know who you are. You are seated in heavenly places. You belong to heaven. You are citizen of heaven. Truly, speak it. Speak it over your children, over your church, over your area, over your city. And things will be changed. Confess who you are in Christ. Holy Spirit is going to fall on those people that are hungry right now. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name. We take authority. I'm praying with the pastor, fall in agreement. We pray in agreement in Jesus' mighty name. Over this group, take authority over every spirit of depression. We break it in Jesus' mighty name. Every fear of enemy, every fear of devil, take authority over every spirit of fear. I bound it in Jesus' mighty name. We break it in every person's life. We break every spirit of Jezebel, every spirit of control, fear of man. We take authority over you. And in Jesus' mighty name, we break it. In Jesus' mighty name. We ask the Holy Spirit, do whatever you called. Revision. Give us again the same thing you gave us the early days of beginnings of our life, our church. Freedom of Holy Spirit. The move of Holy Spirit. Remove all the pain from our hearts. All the trust people put and break their hearts, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Releasing the new ministers and new peoples, new groups. All the pain, all the trust for the new leaders. Be removed in Jesus' mighty name. Even those people, they fall in idolatry. Remove all the pain. All the pain. My friends can release more people. Father, I pray. Like a Moses. When he was tired, you send people to lift up his hand, left hand and right hand. Raise the people, God. Raise people. Speak to people, God. Today speak to our church in this place, God. Let each one of us be committed to you and to the vision you gave to pastors and this leadership, God. That puts your fire, God, in great array in our lives, in our belly, in our hearts, God. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn, to set us free, God. Open the veil of evangelism. Open the veil of the Word of God. God, I pray for the prayer ministries, God. Intercession, raise again, God. Pray in Jesus' mighty name. That area of the church, the heart of church, the prayer, intercession, God. In Jesus' mighty name. Rosso nama sekera basana ma sekera basondo. Rosso kora para basana. We pray for our children. Our young generation, God. Please commit yourselves to the prayer. Lord, asking you, put your life as a prayer warrior. Sometimes we go back, our worries become our monies, our building, and another thing is. But God's saying, keep me first. Keep my spirit first. And I believe God have amazing plan for this church and this place.
many spiritual warfare you've been through last 3-4 months. And I see like in a spiritual realm, because of the change of territory, you choose a territory so specific, so important for God, and you clean in the atmosphere. Each week you share the gospel. And I pray for pastor and his wife to continue whatever God called them to be. And I thank you for all the labors, all the hard work they do in God. God, I ask for church and myself to know our commitment to this pastor and this church in this area, God, to work together in unity. Remove the complaining and all the offense in our hearts and bring unity. And we thank you for this great start. We can't wait to see next season of our life. In Jesus' beautiful name, we bless, we blessed, we blessed, we blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, we give all glory, all honor to you, Jesus. Amen and amen.